This morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. If you want to follow it, it's on the screen, and you can find it on page 104, the New Testament section of the Bible. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he had done for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there were a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
It's me again. The series that we're following at the moment, it's What Have We Got? The first week, we thought about what's in our hand. And if you remember, Henny spoke about Moses, when Moses had the staff, and when God turned the staff into a serpent, and that way convinced Moses to do what God wanted him to do. In the second week, we heard what's in our house. And we heard about Elisha and the wee drop oil that kept flowing and flowing and flowing till there was no jars left. And that's just 2 miracles that we've heard of so far. And today, we are looking at what have we to offer? What have we to offer? Right. Romans 12 tells us to offer our bodies. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Offer ourselves. So that's it. Offer our bodies. Job done. I'll sit down. No. What have we as people to offer to God? We're going to think briefly about 3 things, and then we'll have a look at the actual Bible story. And you'll be happy with this, Simon. Alliteration. Time, talent, and treasure. Well, it's really finance, but treasure fits in better. Time. My dad always used to say, the man that made time made plenty of it. But I'm sure, like me, sometimes you wonder, where does all the time go? And sometimes I think and wonder, do we use our time wisely? I know sometimes I don't. We all say we're busy people, but what are we busy doing? I know there's times I've gone to this digital age, it's so easy to find out information, isn't it? You click a few buttons and Mr. Google comes up with the answer and that's it. But then if you click another button, it tells you something else. And then, oh, go to this bit and it'll tell you something else. And I've done that countless times. And before I know where I am, I've wasted an hour. And I'm seeing smiles here. I think other people have the same problem. And I just feel sometimes when I think about it, maybe I could have been using that hour more profitable, doing something else, doing something for God, doing something for somebody else. A simple thing that should only have taken me 5 minutes has taken a long time. And often we say we're too busy, and I know I've done this myself. Oh, I'm too busy to do that, I'm too busy to do that. But then something comes up and I think, oh, that would be quite good. I'll make time for that. So I think we can always make time for things that we want to do, and sometimes we don't make time for things that maybe we should do. So that's just a wee thought and something for us to think about. Talent. We've all got talents. I know people have said to me, no, I've got nothing to offer. I can't do anything. But I disagree. We've all got something to offer. We're not too old. We're not too young. We're not too frail. We've all got something to offer, no matter how small. It may be that we're a good listener. It may be that you're good at visiting people. It may be you're good with children. It may be that you're a very patient person, or that you enjoy doing practical things like cooking, ironing, gardening. These are all things, and in themselves you think, oh, that's not much. But when you give it to God, he can do so much more with it. We mentioned earlier that Moses had his staff, Elisha had the oil, God did the miracle, but he needed Moses and Elisha to be there to help him. And God needs us as well with our skills. So we need to focus on what we can do and not think, oh, if only I could do such and such, I would be able to. Just focus on the small things that we can do, give them to God, and he can do so much with what we give him. I once read in a church notice board, the only ability that God requires is availability. If we make ourselves available to God, he can use what we give him. And the third thing is treasure. When I was thinking about this, what have we got to offer? I was thinking about, you know that old hymn, take my life and let it be. It goes through different things. Take my feet, take my hands. And there's one verse in it that says, take my silver and my gold. Now, I knew somebody one time who was happy to sing that song, but they refused to sing that verse. Take my silver and my gold. That's quite sad. And you might smile about it, but it's a sad truth, I think, sometimes that we're reluctant to surrender our finances to God. I know I have been, because I think, oh no, I need that money for this bill, or I need the money for the future, or I need it for this and I need it for that. But you know, God won't let us down if we do what he's asking us to do. He will see that we don't go without. I've often felt God saying, I want you to give this to whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. And I just feel so wretched because God has never, ever let me down. And when I have obeyed him, he's always supplied. I can remember there was one occasion, I was at college at the time, and my husband went to the bank to get some money. Now, while he was away, somebody came to me and said, God's told me to give you this money. And I thought, I wonder why that is. I don't need any money. You know, we're fine. My husband came back and he said, I couldn't get any money out of the bank. We're £100 overdrawn. And would you believe I had £100 in my hand? And I'm sure you've got stories that you can tell where God has supplied your need. And I love to hear things like that, because God never, ever lets us down if we trust him. Right, let's have a look at the Bible reading. Jesus had been teaching in Capernaum by the side of the lake, and he felt he needed a rest. So he got in the boat, went to the other side. But all these people thought, oh, we've heard about this great man. We've heard about all the miracles that he's done. We want more, we want more. So you know what they did? They walked all the way around the lake so they could get to where Jesus was on the other side. And that was a distance of about 9 miles. So that's amazing. They wanted more, and they were willing to do that so that they could find out more about Jesus. But when the people arrived, Jesus was concerned that they would be hungry. What was he going to do? Verse 6 tells us that Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do, because he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew, but maybe he wanted to see what the reaction was from Philip and the other disciples. Remember, the disciples had been with him on his travels. He had at this time performed quite a few miracles and done many amazing things. So you would think the disciples would be confident that Jesus would be able to provide. So what did Philip say when Jesus asked, where could we get bread? He says, we wouldn't have enough money to buy enough bread for these folks. It's amazing when you think about it that they'd seen all these signs and wonders and still a negative response. Philip had a negative response, but Andrew, if you remember, Andrew was the one who brought his brother, Simon Peter, to see Jesus. Andrew was proactive. He went to see what he could do. And he found this wee lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, the loaves would probably be just the size of a roll, and we're told there were barley loaves. Now, apparently, barley loaves were the cheapest of the cheap. It was the food of the poor. And the 2 fish would probably just be about the size of sardines. But this wee boy, he was quite willing to give that over. It was probably all he had to eat for the whole day. But he said, no, here you are. You can have this. He willingly offered it. When I was reading over this, I was thinking, I wonder if anybody else had food. You would think that all these, out of all these people travelling all these miles, that some of them would have something to eat, wouldn't you? You know, that they would have prepared. They may have done, but maybe they wanted to keep it to themselves. I don't know. It's speculation. It's speculation. I was reading William Barclay's commentary about this story. Now, William Barclay, a lot of scholars don't like him because he explains the miracles away. And he tells a really nice story that says it is possible that everybody had food to eat, but they wanted to keep it to themselves apart from this wee boy. And then when they saw that the lad shared what he had, they felt guilty, so they shared amongst themselves. And I suppose in a way that's a miracle in itself, isn't it? I have no doubt that Jesus used the loaves and the fishes to feed the 5,000, but this was what was in the commentary, and I thought that's quite a nice wee story as well. So in a way, if we share something and other people maybe see us share it, they might share as well. So it kind of goes round, doesn't it? But William Barclay goes on to say, the boy had not much to offer, but out of what he had, Jesus found the materials of a miracle. There would have been one great and shining deed fewer in history if that boy had refused to come or if he had withheld his loaves and fishes. The fact of life is that Jesus needs what we can bring him. We may not have much to bring, but he needs what we have. He needs our time. He needs our talent. He needs our treasures and anything else that we've got to bring him. It may well be that the world is denied a miracle after miracle and triumph after triumph because we will not bring to Jesus what we have and what we are. Do we want to be the reason why miracles are not happening? Because we're refusing to give what little we have to God? We may be sorry that we have not more to bring, but that's no reason for refusing to bring what we have. Certainly something to think about, isn't it? That something that we refuse to do might stop God from working through us and doing it, doing something. Because we don't offer our time or talents, no matter how small they may be, are we denying other people the privilege of knowing God's power and provision? Certainly something to think about. I want to finish with a devotion that came to me during the week entitled Give Christ Your All. In a world filled with half-hearted commitments and fleeting actions, giving Christ our all is a radical act of surrender. It's more than Sunday attendance or a whispered prayer. It's laying down our agendas and lifting up his purpose. Christ didn't hold back on the cross, neither should we hold him back in our lives, particularly in our devotion. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. This is not a casual suggestion. It's a life-altering command. To give our all means placing Christ at the centre, above comfort, above convenience, above control. When we do, we discover peace, purpose, and the power of living fully alive. What area of your life is Christ asking for you today? Hold nothing back. He is worthy of everything. Give Christ your all. What have we to offer God? I leave it with you. Amen.
So let's continue in that attitude of prayer. We're going to pray now for the things that we bear on our hearts and minds.